Hello, my name is Sophie Orna. You have selected Scottish English. Medium slow. Please allow me to present the metaphor reel with DJ Sam Knott. Tagline, psychedelic poetry, au naturel. Psychedelic poetics will be more familiar to 23rd century listeners under the guise of Quaylon Organics. While the narrative entity, unknown in those days as Sam Knott, is of course none other than our venerable founder, Uncle Wayback. The show was originally broadcast round the world early in the 21st century on Spirit Plant Radio, as the saying went, turn on, tune in, and drop by and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more. This file was sent out to see the Solid State Enigmatrix and Archives on the 21st of December 2271 by Amulet Knott, current chair of Wayback Enterprises. Please now unfasten your mind belt and enjoy a wee ride, for, as the saying now goes, enjoy we ride.
On the lightbox of morning, I trace a single complex plane whose name was and will be again, but is not Crow. Between swoop and perch, the wizard crouches in the bird. Inside the bare oak, black robe is swirling. Twelve. 20-something. It was as if now were high ground, and all around a flood of time, lapping at the shrunk horizon. It was that sound, in the wind, the memories of a past that was a future that never happened. Deep in the forest of beech, traffic haunted. Remember driving as if it were yesterday, driving through the mist, thick fog, so that the road seemed to unravel out the clouds less than 50 metres in front. And when the incline changed, you went down and were about to ascend. It looked for all the world like a path leading straight to heaven. But it was a cold, damp heaven. A giant's mountain house. The clouds. And it reminded you of old computer games. Like seeing the foggy horizon of some preternatural processing power. The smudged out limits of its ability to render your simulated world. Drawn inside the storm cloud branches. So you got home, some inexplicable ache behind your eyes, and you sat, exhausted, on the edge of the coffee table in front of the stove, tying knots of newspaper to light the fire with. You went off to get your lighter and were just about to put a flame to it when, whoosh, a flap and a fucking demon flew out. This glinting black bundle of power. And bash! It smacked into the window and lay for a moment with one wing spread, and you saw it was a starling. Then it flew straight across the room into a painting, The Monk by the Sea. You were chatting away, telling it to chill, while you opened the window, and then, phew, it flew out and was gone. You imagined you had already started the fire and the bird had caught a light. You opened the stove and a burning starling came out, smelling of burning hair and bouncing round the room like a tiny phoenix in reverse. So you imagined helping this little bird, this small, semi-bold, frazzled thing, dressing its wounds and, though it couldn't fly, giving it some kind of a life. Then you wondered who you would be doing that for. Not another thought now, just snuffing it out. Shotgun shot, far off, past the ear, an arrow. In some strange sense, the notion in your head this morning is really a memory, both of dreams, a dream, and of thoughts, little moments, inklings, glimmerings of a something too big to see. Too big, or classical music playing on the stereo as you roll towards the woods. You're being manipulated. No, too rude a word. The sympathetic movements of your emotions and the music. Their synchrony. You should follow the deer away from the hunt. The way a melody will be running along and it will take a sudden shift. It will drop or rise and it's like it mimics the way you just felt something. Something suddenly happened and your chest opened and your heart fell out. Maybe music, once upon a time, was more like the expression of a single sustained feeling. Each song a trance, a dirge. But somewhere along the line we learned to make it shift seamlessly from one key to another. Like something inside us already does. And unlock these deeply felt intangibles. Not just emotion, but the things before and after. This level of immediacy that we can neither deny nor confirm. We can share it, but only in terms of a kind of... Do you know what I mean? Are you getting this? Do you understand? So, the actual sentence in your head this morning... Something like becoming aware of moments of apprehending, glimpses of the being I am dying into. Glimpses of the great mind that we're all thoughts in or something. But that is such a cheesy, cliche expression. So try to get to the heart of that image. What it feels like to live it. What it feels like to see through yourself to a world that is completely beyond you. And yet to recognize that this world is going on inside you too. This is the sense in which to die into this greater being is a becoming of ourselves, of sorts. A revelation of what is deep, deep within us and yet oh, so very close to the surface. There is a sense of translucence, of colours that are see-through, and yet brighter and more pure in their being not completely there, or here, not bouncing off things into our eyes, flavoured, spaces occupied, yet somehow still reflective in the way they glint and glimmer, absorbed in forbidden invitations, the way they intimate that somehow we are concentric bubbles of lives burst into this bird-filled world. We are seeing ourselves from a new point of view, a point of view that is no point of view, everything seen through from nowhere, a place in a world that can't be placed, a house with trees inside and brightly coloured birds in the branches, a warm fire in the middle and ruined stone walls open to a cold blue day, a spiralling wolf, footprints in the snow were, a snuggling cat, snake, flick of disappearing tail, dragons. This is what you are. Always open, ears extend a welcome to voice space. You are a place, and the things moving through you are places too, and many times as well. But fuck time and space, this is beyond them. Between them too. Eternity, yes, but not some static eternity, not some cold, unmoving everness. A changing eternity. A living and... that's how we get the sense that even though you are neither here nor there, you were important somehow. The things that came before you are the movements that make you and continue through and beyond you. They are both you and not you. They won't sit together. They won't exist logically together. But you can hold them together because that's what you are. Those are the things that hold you together, what you are not. So this place changed you, and you changed it. You have been acknowledged by existence itself. It is what you are, and it is what is there when you are not. It is where you leave from to go nowhere, which sounds like nonsense, and so it feels like an emptiness now to have talked it out. It is no longer evocative of that world, that time-place sense in which imagination is located, where you can stand and you can't point to this thing, but you can feel it, almost spatially. You can feel its location, somewhere that is both inside the crack, in the wrinkle, in the crevice you are, and off to one side. This particular feeling is off and to the right, behind, both inside and out there in space and in time. It's something that has visited you in the past, an image, a feeling, a moment, an ungraspable thing that happened. And it's something you will meet again in the future. Just passing through the robin's eye, level with mine. You read somewhere recently that anxiety is little but the movement of things in a realm you are not quite aware of. Anxiety is things happening in a part of you that you do not at this moment have complete access to. And perhaps those things wouldn't be happening if you did. You would be interfering somehow. So after a time, we learn to let anxiety be. We can't be rid of it, but we can understand what it means, what it signifies. Depths, depths, soul and deepness, depression. Wulu rapike, wubu kapa wulu rapu. Wriggly wriggly raptorudy mushroody. Owl cave to rise in a bilocobo. Yes, you can be as crazy as you want to be. Yes, this is the definition of true sanity. Uprooting desires, tree thoughts walk in. Deep written skin. So suddenly it seems nothing to think, I will put you in the ground now, and in 5 years you'll be perhaps a little taller than me. And in 10, while still young, maybe you are something I can stand under and enjoy as, you know, I carry on getting older. You are growing. I guess some people have this with children, with kids in their lives, but in some way I'd rather have tree children. I want to die into a world, not so much a person or a people. A world that is a person, a personable world, filled with personality but with no centre of personality, no self, all self, and so selfless. So I become happier with the grander expanses of time, less immediate results. There is no great pressure to finish this or that project. They are threads, continuations. They are not things that I will finish, and no one ever will finish them. They might be finished with people at some point, but they will never in themselves be finished. Which, perhaps, in some straight to the point yet quite roundabout way, is what it means to call a being complete. Instantly gradual, behind the white sky, the sun grows closer. And transformation. And transformation. All the lights are out to welcome the night. Only the fire flickers, amber over the blue dust of what once was white. Liquid on the ceiling, like the sun bouncing off a pond to light the underside of a tree. Watching shadows ripple through a heat wave of meat. Water, thought, aflame. Fire, felt, to flow, tree known to journey. holding fast to have the wind sing of the sea, to make the mind wonder if the wood is what the wood was, if this is why it still sounds like wind and water, still shines like daylight filtered through branch and leaf, goes leaping restlessly through all these lives as it dies, in opposites neither sundered nor blended, fire and water, earth and sky, playing on the floor above like the light of mind itself, until it should seem there is nothing else to see. Yet what could be more ubiquitously unseen than that to which nothing but all words may point? The substance of understanding awaits its own sign, searches for its trace inside each radiant frame of the animated darkness, expecting the chaos to resolve into faces, forms, or images. But nothing changes into what it was not. The fire goes on recalling the sun bouncing off the rippling pond, the overhanging illumination as clear as day, a story of the time inside the cave. The cave inside the mind that burns inside these stones, where shapeshifters whisper in the stove. The elements of imagination are themselves. The elements of imagination are themselves.
Thank you. O gloomy dwelling, where takes place the narrative unnoticed. Deep shade of safety become the crystal cave of no surprises. Subliminal reassurance of the spider's thought cast. Let me break these silken tethers and sleepwalk toward the garden door. Let fall the blank blue mask. I must return your loving glance. I must meet your moony eye behind my own hawthorn of coyness. Raised like a hand to this half face, for the blooming awareness of flowers is spreading like self-recognition, warm behind my pallor. But it is an other. Let me gaze upon the gaze upon me, and not dissolve the mystery, but deepen the pleasure with exclamatory questions. No mere starfire attends the moon's reflection upon the multiplicitous singularity of outlook. The watchful weave. Oh, let me dream, for yours is indeed the face of my lover. Hers are the kind hands who seeded your freckled bed of blush. I am breathing in the love of her imagination, living it, the way the moth's eyes will soon come to sparkle about the deep sense of night.
Dark lane, fresh maze plain. Dark lane, fresh maze plain.
Are you okay?
Dark lane, fresh maze plain.
Dark lane, fresh maze. I'm better than okay. Dark lane, I'm okay.
Dark
okay.
Smash me, play, smash me, play,
smash me, play, smash me, play, smash me, play,
smash me, play,
smash me,
play, smash me, play, smash me, play, me, smash me, play, me darling, me smash, me 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 play, me darling,
me smash, me play, me darling, me smash, me play, me
man is but a crow who lost all his feathers. Time was he could go out in the most inclement of weathers. Now he goes about in all kinds of skins designed, and the only truth he knows he needs a special glass to find. His clack sounds shite, it's gone all soft, 'cause of the blubby worms where his pecker was. And he's lost his claws and with them his grip. And now he gets in a flap about how time flips, conveniently ignoring how he's chasing it away. For as all crows know, time doesn't pay, though man still tries to steal it like a shiny, tries to keep it under his bold skinny wing, all mine, mine, miney. He can still solve a problem, mind, when his belly turns up the heat, but not so well as he can make 'em see, and his hunger's all part of the mystery. Well, it used to be. Now he knows. Knows what he never could when he was just a crow. Acts like it makes him the trademark true god.
Caw!
Caw blimey. What an absolute knob. Turn from the filling moon to the smudged sun clouds spilling out with dream light. Hear the sound of your boots crunching through the long grass, become as nothing, floating home. Sit on the front step beneath the granulated flap of the gathering starlings. The tobacco in your pipe glows a moment's writhe to ashes. As you know, flight is never lighter than air. Such great heart power surges through the lift of each constellation to bring us to pass again this way. The supernal feeling wobble through the endless cycles to welcome a certain change.
Oh, I wish I'd looked after my teeth, by Pam Ears. To a hip-hop beat. Oh, I wish I'd looked after me teeth and spotted the perils beneath all the toffees I chewed and the sweet sticky food. Oh, I wish I'd looked after me teeth. I wish I'd been that much more willing when I had more tooth there than filling to pass up gobstoppers from respect to me choppers, and to buy something else with me shillin. When I think of the lollies I licked, and the licorice all sorts I picked, sherbet dabs, big and little, all that had peanut brittle, my conscience gets horribly pricked. My mother, she told me no end, if you've got a tooth, you've got a friend. I was young then, and careless, my toothbrush was hairless, I never had much time to spend. Oh, I showed them the toothpaste all right, I flashed it about late at night, but up and down brushing, and poking and fussing, didn't seem worth the time. I could bite. If I'd known I was paving the way to cavities, caps and decay, the murder of fillings, injections and drillings, I'd have thrown all me sherbet away. So I lay in the old dentist's chair, and I gaze up his nose in despair, and his drill it do whine, in these molars of mine, to amalgam, he'll say, for in there. how I laughed at my mother's false teeth as they formed in the waters beneath. But now comes the reckoning, it's me they are beckoning. Oh, I wish I'd looked after me teeth.
My crow is bigger than.
My crow's bigger than.
My crow is bigger than.
My crow's bigger than.
My crow is bigger than.
My crow's bigger than.
My crow is bigger than.
My crow's bigger than.
My crow is bigger than.
My crow's bigger than.
My crow is bigger than.
My crow's bigger than.
My crow is bigger than.
My crow's bigger than.
My crow is bigger than.
My crow's bigger than.
My crow is bigger than.
So, I'm in l'église de Saint-Pierre, I think, in Caen. And I'm going to read a poem I wrote a week or two ago. The poem's in three parts. At the moment I'm calling it possibly A Nest of Odettes. Each part has its own title. An odette is like a new form, I was thinking of. It's a kind of twist on the sonnet. It's basically 13 lines, and those 13 lines are divided into three. Two pairs, or a couple that I call the odd couple. So that's like two stanzas with an equal amount of lines. So say they've got five lines each, that leaves the odd one out as a three line. So the odd couple are kind of meant to either contrast with each other or progress. And the odd one out is meant to kind of prevent a conclusion in a way, to keep things open, whereas with a sonnet the last two lines tend to recapitulate or summarize or kind of close. I mean, sometimes they close by opening, but anyway, the function of the odd one out in the odette is to open or negotiate perhaps between the other two, and it might be at the start, in the middle, or at the end. Anyway, so it's 13 syllables, a line, 13 lines, and this poem has 13 stanzas, two larger parts with five stanzas a piece, and then a little bit on the end with three. And then I wrote a kind of an archetypal odette to summarise the form and put that on the end. Anyway, I'm going to get on with reading. One, crow's slaughter? Or is that crow's laughter? Crow took a nosedive because you filled him full of lead. Sunk him like the black balloon of your own hopelessness. Filled her, cunt, with lead. Your poisonous ejaculate. My shotgun cocked eye now raises the question of why. It is not life,
but soul poetry puts on the line. So do not answer yet, we have nothing but time. Time after time, line after line, life after life after death, I guess. I asked my wife, why do they kill crows? Because they are assholes, she said. Yes, I said, but there must be some kind of assholey logic behind it. They say they eat the crops, the corn. Well, I guess they must, but they are hardly a plague of locusts. I find it ridiculous how rather than share, we would murder. My definitions might seem to stretch in taking breath, because I consider myself a friend of crow kind. It is not that I imagine that crows think warmly of me, you understand? It is just that I love them. Life is better for their being around, thus the death, needless, of one of them is enough to anger me. I want to become a kind of crow now, avenge them. I want to make you vulnerable again, to dream. Thus this is a spell you will have to weave over me. I must disappear inside these words, and in your skin, be crow awaking. Be crow way king. One soul on line after line, holding your head under the water of life, or something thicker, an ocean of crow blood. One inescapable breath bubbling up, one strange knot of muscle and bone strangling these words out its own throat. One throttled creed in a whirl of molten metal meat. I am the sorrow who will pull you down, sooner or later, because I am like gravity. I allow you to rise to the degree you will sink into me. I accompany you to hell. Make sure you get there. Hold open your eyes to the mirror of everywhere, in darkness most of all, in the pitiless eye of your own soul. Judging you next to nothing, I will wait. My patience ancient, my blood eternity's fuel. All your lives are mine to machine, your destiny bound to my fate. I can wait and wait for you to awake. My timelessness, your own relentless divinity, and nothing about it is easy. No afterlife, but life after life after life, till you realize what it means to live well. And I can return to you the between times, the sweet forgettings you oft recall. Recall now the last time you woke refreshed to this world. That was my blessing. My very wings are dreamlessness. My flight is your forgetting. I keep you from madness, or guide you through its realm, or sacrifice you to it. I let it consume you, the god of your god. Or not. The source of your world, the gold around which nothing curls, the naked return of your natural glance, a noise beyond your thoughts, a void where feeling was, at peace once. Your soul is in my nest, and my nest is in your soul. I am the egg of the sun inside the winter oak. My beak cracks the ice on the lake, imprisoning spring. You have murdered me because you do not yet know death. What is it to know the unknown, but to imagine, but to dream, but to live the time between? Nothing is nothing. I have cursed you with a blessing. You will pay my price for your life after life. Mark these words well. The choices you make echo emptily until all the world is filled with your body and space at play in your mind. I spread my wings as disease, enmity, until you make a friend of me. You will never know death. You will never know rest. You will never know crow. Two. An empirical vendetta. Some things are just begging to be destroyed. Ideas. Thoughts, dinosaurs transformed into still living words. This sacred sense by which you know yourselves eternal haunts you like a hungry ghost, occupies your end thoughts, stirs at the edges of awareness, insists on you. Insists the only real progress is personal. Growing nowhere again to realize your remit, the place where you actually exist and function, is akin to an orientation towards your imagination, should you wish to know its meaning. Should you comprehend the sense of senses is the sense of the sacred. That context is itself a cosmic concept. That nothing is fixed which cannot be broken. When your ground is white, my sky is black, no grey but green. My creaturely cleverness sees what is not in terms of what might be. But here, inside your lucid dreams, I am what can never be. I am the impossible. This is your nature. Truly, impossibility. I take to the sky because of gravity. That is what your explanations are like. My biology resulting from seemingly numerable reasons. Watch me playing over the cliffs. When a strong wind blows, I sometimes flip. The pure joy of my body erupts. What could be the reason of reasons, speaking to such feelings? To see life in terms of survival is death. Being itself is bliss. the facts of life are lovers. These are words such as flight itself rasps from my throaty clatter. I am the raggedy black flag of what seems pure negativity. But all certainty might build on my empty foundations, an atomic logic of knots, compounded, active gaps, such as circles tell the true stories of number, the qualities before the heart split into abstract manipulations merely. The primary unit of teaching oneself is the circle, sign of zero, symbol of nothing, but one. There are always at least three things going on. And so, evenness is but a shadow of the absolute symmetry of emptiness. This manifest oddness of all being a gateway to your own divinity. The knowing depths of prismatic multiplicity. For colour does not fall out of light. Darkness reaches into it to find the edge of what was already. This is the meaning of magnetism, angelic charisma, devilishly enchanting green meeting place. Place is in time and place is in space, and space is in words and worlds interface. This is what language is, the interface of words. Embodied calligraphy, the elemental differences of togetherness, the infinite profusion of these differences between differences, the very seeing through-ness of the universal self-sense this all-dimension is. Capable of endlessly refreshing meaning. Here, neither fear nor forget your essential conventionality. For the structure of freedom is a skeleton key to your own stubborn mystery. I perch upon the gargoyles of thought, while water streams out their jaws like human speech, making musical the concrete beneath, the old stones above, lichen twixt. I patch and paint the historical dustbin of meat with warfold memory. I am the organic museum of machine information. I am the wow core of confusion, the interred deep end dance that learns us broke words, us mad wild civilizers of man, us deathly partakers in life's overarching gift. A love that emerges as we're stepping into it.
Three,
The Cathedral of Impossible Experience. The Cathedral of Impossible Experience has built itself with the hands of my ancestors. Bless. Yes, they can be my ancestors as well. Even if I descend from none of them, they descend from nothing. Nothing is nothing. The Holy Spirit embedded in language. Languages, our interfacing goddess. Let all this be in honor of her. Everything we have erected for her, freshly ornamented. The milk of kindness layered like calcite in a cave. Cloudy crystal, patient and gentle, where the sea sings. Pure, watery detail from which light is descended. The musical shadows of the rainbow which bend it back on itself to give birth between us, suspended in a sense which cannot be diminished and needs no augmentation. All that was still has come to life now. All that was empty is filled with the music of breath. The sound breath would make were it countless creatures dancing. An ecosystem. A resonating dragon world. Breathing sweet fire to show inside the stone. Tree-ness. A liquid, ever-living strength. In always sensing circles of openness. Flower being beloved. A revelatory architecture, intricate to the point of disappearing. Disappearing into the still, playing game of being rearranged. Giant tree still paying the debt for our strange subsisting. But here we are making it up to you. This building is better than anything else we have ever made. So much greater than the halls where our mirrors display our happy, sad mistakes, our vanities bottomless. We built in our midst a soundbox beyond all feelings of selfish resonance to sense we have listened, a door we have opened to a truth beyond ourselves. Beyond ideals, beyond possible reasoning, to allow we might not know what we really do need, until it is singing through our eyes of stained glass, filling space with a laugh like an angel's trumpet blast, to shatter up our hearts into orchestrated shards of love clustered honeybees feeding the mysteries of the Cathedral of Impossible Experience.
You are listening to I Am at SamNot.com's Metaphor Real Psychedelic Poetry on Naturel on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting round the world at SpiritPlantsRadio.com. Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more. Peace, lovage, and well seasoned greetings, me good peeps. Kiss, kiss, kiss.
4. Decoder. An archetypal odette. One's prismatic structure. I am one of a rather odd pair. Call me nothing. Left alone, I am merely hot air, positively empty. But in good company, I flare, displaying bright and lovely, colourful streamings of consciousness. I might give away in not giving way, as Earth does. Between us is the odd one out, first and last, doubt beyond doubt. Nothing is more important than everything. Such axiomatic dynamics can but disclose how weird sounds good to an odd couple such as us. A universe of life, love, lights, ever more diverse. So richly expressive is this flowering framework, an aesthetic meta-ethic playfully becomes one's flesh. The sensate knotwork of all ways. Stay in touch.